Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter. We want to look at the fifth verse. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This was written to young Timothy, who was a preacher, a pastor, a missionary, but this applies to every one of us. We need to watch thou in all things. We who are saved need to watch ourselves, and especially our doctrine, so that we can be a witness unto others. Sometimes we get to talking to other people and they say things and we kind of nod our head and ignore what they're saying, when we should explain to them that you don't get saved that way. You get saved by faith in Christ alone. We need to also watch against temptations of Satan. He tempts us to sin. He tempts us to teach false doctrine. And he works hard on preachers. He works hard on Sunday school teachers to try to get us to go astray. Let's look at Matthew chapter 26. You all will find it before I do. I've got a rather new Bible. It's a Thompson chain, and I had a Thompson chain before that and wore it out. And I use the old Thompson chain when I'm studying, and I use this one in church. So maybe I need to bring the old one back. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this goes for all of us. The flesh is weak. Then let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. If you don't get anything out of my messages, you'll at least get experience changing from one book to another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Quite often when I talk to people I get to talk to about the Lord, I'll explain to them that you don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved by changing your life. You only get saved by trusting in Christ. Many times they'll tell me, yes, we trust in Him. But when you question them at length, they're trusting that He will provide their physical needs. And they're still thinking there's something they have to do to get to heaven. So it's a common thought. And then in 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, in verse 8, be sober. And we think that means don't get drunk, which that would apply, but it also means let's be serious at times. Let's be serious when we're trying to be a witness to people. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He will devour us if he can into beginning to teach some things that the modern religious people are teaching. He will devour us by leading us into living a sinful life. So we need to watch carefully. We must watch how we work for the Lord. We must be careful that we don't pick up unscriptural actions from those who are religious but do not know the Lord. If everybody hasn't figured it out, there's a whole lot of religious people that have no idea what the Bible teaches. They have no idea how to be saved, but they're religious. Boy, are they religious. Let's turn to Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts 20, and we want to look at verse 30 and 31. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking for perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I have had close relationships with other preachers. Well, it's been many years ago, but after a while, those preachers began to preach some false doctrines. And I never went around them much after that. So we need to watch. Sometimes we have close friends and we begin to follow what they do and we don't really check it out in Scripture. We need to check Scripture on it.
Amen.
I read verse 30. I don't know if I read the verse 31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. So Paul was preaching to them and he was in tears trying to get them to understand this is what we need to teach, this is what we need to do. So we need to be careful about what we see some other groups doing. And another thing, 2 Timothy 4 verse 5 says, is endure afflictions. Sometimes things get rough for us and we say, well, I'll just give up. There's no sense doing this. It's not working out. I'm having more trouble. Endure afflictions. Our afflictions could be someone who persecutes us. Perhaps someone we really care about who will make fun of our witnessing unto them. Let's look in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 and verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We won't be saved by enduring, but those who are saved are to try their best to endure it, whatever the Lord leads us into. If it's witnessing to our neighbors, if it's witnessing to our kinfolk, we need to continue even though they may not like it. Then back to 1 Peter again. Like I said the other night, if I was real organized, I would probably put all these verses together where you could find them easier. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19, but this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If because we have a desire to serve the Lord, we endure being treated wrongfully. Next thing 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5 tells us is do the work of an evangelist. Now I realize Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a young preacher. But there we have record in Scripture of others who were witnesses and people got saved. If you're saved, you may say, I don't know how to witness. Well, tell those you talk to how you got saved. Just tell them that you were a sinner and the Lord saved you. They need to trust in the Lord, not their baptism, not their church membership, not their trying to live a good life and all that. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Verse, I think I used this in my message last night. Verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had been charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He was reading something that he didn't totally understand. And in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Philip didn't say a thing about baptism. Philip preached unto him Christ. In verse 36, they went on their way and they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? The eunuch, when the Lord saved him, had a desire to be baptized. In verse 37, Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you truly believe that Christ died to pay for your sins, you may be baptized. And they stopped and he baptized him. There's a very little probability that any of us will run across the treasure from some other country that's reading the scripture. In fact, it's not a real good chance that we're going to run across anybody walking down the road or riding with somebody else reading scripture. But if we get the chance to witness to somebody, we need to explain that salvation is in Christ and Him alone. Let's turn to Romans, the first chapter. Verse 14. Paul was writing to the church at Rome and he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He's saying it doesn't matter if you're filthy rich, if you're so poor you don't have anything to eat at the next meal. Verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you don't know what to tell somebody else, you could read this portion of Scripture, or you could go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go there in a little bit. But we're commanded to be a witness. Amen. We all have brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, nieces, neighbors who are lost. And we need to try to be a witness to them. Let's turn to Acts, the first chapter. In verse 8, Jesus was speaking to the church. Your Bible probably says the same thing at the book of Acts that mine does, the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the church. Amen. In verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That covers us. Somebody came to me and witnessed. Those of you that are saved, somebody witnessed to you. And we need to do the same. We need to tell others that salvation is in Christ and Him alone. Amen. That it's by faith in Him. It's not by joining a church. It's not by baptism. It's not by any good work that we do. Good works comes after the Lord saves us. Up till then, we're not interested in doing good works. Let's turn to Acts, the 22nd chapter. In verse 15, for thou shalt be his witnesses unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Be a witness to what has happened to you. Then in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, John 15 and verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, we weren't there when Jesus walked upon this earth, but those of us that are saved, we've been with Him ever since the Lord saved us. He's been with us. So we need to tell others that they need to put their trust in Christ. Then in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the 11th verse, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I know we have Sunday school teachers in our churches, but I think we could interpret that also as pastors are to be teachers. They're pastors and teachers, same person. But it mentions there that He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists. None of us, or I don't guess any of us, are paid evangelists to go around and just get paid by some church because we go out and evangelize, but we need to tell people that Christ came to die for our sins. And some say, but I don't know what to say. You mean you're saved and you don't know how it happened? If you're trusting Christ to have died to pay for your sins, just tell them that. Amen. The gospel is clearly stated in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. I think he's meaning for this to go to saved people, but he also mentions the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. You stand in the gospel once you're saved. You're standing on Christ. You're depending on Christ to keep you saved. Verse 2, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, he talks about believing in vain because the Pharisees were going around talking about them believing in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the main thing. He died for our sins. Amen. Well, how do we know that worked? Verse 4 says, and he was buried, he rose again the third day according to Scriptures, according to Old Testament Scriptures that point to the forward of that, and the New Testament Scriptures that point to that. Yep. Spreading the gospel is not just the pastor's job. Right. Pastor's got a dozen other things to do. We all need to present the gospel to those we associate with. Whether we're friends with them or we just know them, we need to express the gospel to them. And the last part of 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5 says, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, of course, Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a young minister. So he was telling him to make full proof of it. We who are saved need to make full proof of our ministry also without running around bragging about, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm this, I'm that. I worked many years up to retirement as a salesperson. And anybody that I could get to listen to me at my customers, I would talk to them about the Lord. Usually the first couple of times I was in there and got to service their account, I would kind of check them out and I wouldn't say too much. And then about the third time, I'd begin to talk to them about the Lord. A whole lot of them said, we knew there was something different about you. And they would tell me they were saved. They were trusting the Lord to save them, and that was good. Let's turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verse 14. Well, this actually starts in verse 13, and it is Jesus speaking to the church. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Many of the so-called, and I mean so-called, Baptist churches today are in that group. Verse 14, you're the light of the world. The city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if we have good works and that's all, and we don't ever mention Christ to them, they're still not going to glorify our Father in heaven because they won't know why we're living the way we do. They'll think we're trying to live so good that we'll get to heaven that way. So we need to present the gospel to people we deal with. Then in the book of James, James chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Living a godly life in front of others is not presenting the gospel. But if while you're living a godly life in front of others, you will present the gospel to them, it kind of matches up. They will, if we're working with somebody and we're always fussing about the boss is too hard on us and we shouldn't have to do this and we're griping all the time, and then we try to witness, they're probably going to laugh at us. So we need to live a godly life and present the gospel. Let's look in 1 Peter again, the second chapter, the 12th verse. Having your conversation honest. Now, in our day and age, we refer to conversation as what you say. But when the King James Bible was translated, conversation meant your actions. Having your actions honest. Having your conversation or actions honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. If we will live godly in front of others and try to witness to those who will stand still and let us listen, let us witness to them. In Berea, there's a lot of places you can walk for exercise. And there are a lot of other people walk for exercise. So I usually, we print a little church paper that I put out in the stores, and they all, most of them disappear. So somebody's taking them and reading them or taking them and throwing them away. I'd say somebody's reading them. And I'll take some of those that have a good gospel message in it with me when I go walking. And many times I'll offer them to people and they'll take them. And I've had two people recently say, no, I don't want that. And there are probably some of those that have been hounded by people trying to get them to go to church, trying to get them to live different, and nobody's ever presented the gospel to them. Let's turn back to Romans again, the first chapter, verse we've already read once. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Present it every time you get a chance to. You never know who the Lord will save. Every message I preach in our church, I bring out the gospel. Back several years ago, there was a lady who was from the county south of us. She found out about us, and she lived up in northern Kentucky, and she would bring her kids, and they would come, and they'd spend Sunday morning with us, and then she would go visit her kinfolk. One of her sons is now the song leader at Grace Baptist Church in Florence, where Brother Wilbur Ellis pastors. And he states that he heard the gospel when he was in our service. So, no matter how important our message is, preachers, we need to bring out the gospel. And everybody needs to present the gospel to their associates, their loved ones, people they work with, salesman that comes to your house. When somebody calls you up on the phone and they make the mistake of asking you, how are you? See, I was a lost sinner, but the Lord saved me. How do you stand? And probably one of two things will happen. They'll either get the gospel or they'll hang up on you. So that's another way we can be a witness. Now, at my age, everybody in the world is wanting to sell me a new Medicare policy. Or they're wanting to sell me a life insurance policy. So I get a lot of calls like that. And they don't last long. I try to witness to them. So thank you, brother. Amen.